This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about boba.
Yes, and this episode was suggested by pretty much everybody, and it's taken us too long to get around to it.
And the sad thing is we're recording it on a Monday morning, but it's too early for the local, like, boba shop to be open, so we're not going to be drinking any boba while we record this.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's, like, you know, I noticed this, like, after I started traveling to Asia, that there's, like, American cafe and bakery hours, and then there's East Asian cafe and bakery hours, and, like, so an American bakery opens at, like, 6:30 a.m. and a Japanese or, you know, Taiwanese bakery or cafe opens at, like, 10 or 12.
Oh, okay. So the boba shop is operating on the East Asian time.
Right. So there's two boba shops within, like, a 5-minute walk of my apartment, and both of them open at noon.
Okay, but wait, let's think about this, because boba, like, people don't go get boba the way they go get coffee.
That's
boba
true.
Is a, like, sweet treat, right?
That's totally fair.
I mean, it's not like I'm going to go get
Yeah, there are also, like, I think I'm conflating, like, different things.
But I
also,
think
like,
you
in,
are.
In Japan, there are, like, you know, non-boba tea cafes and, like, you know, patisserie shops that open at, like, 10 or 11 a.m.
Okay, fair. Okay, well, we just caught Matthew in a gross exaggeration. That was gross.
That was super gross, and it won't be the last time.
Okay. Matthew, I'm going to lead off with memory lane here because I don't have much of memory lane. I definitely learned about boba tea, or, you know, about bubble tea, also known as boba, at some point after moving to Seattle, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably while I was still in grad school, because I think of the University District and the Ave, which is what we call University Avenue here in Seattle. I think of the Ave as, like, the original location of, like, boba tea shops.
I think that's true. And, like, you know, if there's going to be a new, like, a new chain from Taiwan showing up in Seattle, like, probably their first Seattle outpost is still going to be in the U District, because college students love boba.
But I don't remember the first time I ever had it. And I think that I have had it more in the last year than any other time, than the total of all years before, because my kid is really into boba.
My kid is too, and, like, not even as much as some of their friends are. Like, the high school students are also just, like, you know, going for bubble tea is, like, a thing you do.
I wish that, so when I was in high school, as I've mentioned on the show before, you know, it was, like, peak early espresso drink era.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
peak,
of course.
Peak early espresso drink era.
Yeah, P-E-E-D-A, PETA.
Yeah, so there was a peak in the early espresso era.
Right.
Then there was the real peak. It's like foothills.
I'm drawing the graph summit in my mind.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we used to go out to, like, the only coffee shop that we knew of in Oklahoma City. And it was called Medina's.
Okay.
Or Medina's. I can't remember. I'm all messed up now. But anyway, I would get like a mocha, and then there'd be an open mic night, and I would read poetry there.
So good.
Anyway, I really wish that boba places had cultivated this kind of embarrassing open mic night culture for the teens of today.
Oh, that would be great. And like, you know, like singing like K-pop songs and stuff.
Yeah.
There's an open mic that a friend told me about at the Fremont Abbey.
I believe
that they
it.
They do once a month, and I've been trying to like get up the courage to like go play a song there.
Oh, that seems so right. You should go. I would come watch you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a little boba memory lane. I also don't remember the first time I had it, but it was definitely in Seattle, and almost certainly either in the U District or the International District.
Okay.
But I have been to one of the two cafes in Taiwan that claims to have invented boba.
Now you're just showing off. Yeah. God, you are such a jerk.
Uh-huh. So we'll get into this in the history, but there are two cafes in Taiwan, each of which claims to be the originator of boba. And the one I've been to is the one in Taichung, which is called Chun Shui Tang. It's a really beautiful, like, cafe, like, restaurant tea house. I had the black sesame milk tea, and it was delicious. Was it, like, better than any other boba I've ever had? No, but it was a delightful experience.
I have a question. So you say it was beautiful, like a tea house. So did it, you know, most boba places in Seattle, at least, are designed to appeal to young people,
yeah,
I would
this
say.
Is a totally different aesthetic. A lot of exposed wood.
Oh, yeah. Like one might think of in an East Asian tea house.
Yeah. Okay. Like probably there was some teak involved.
And wait, did the boba come? So, you know, I always think of boba coming in like a tall plastic cup with like a thin plastic lid that's sealed on top, and you poke your big straw through it.
No, we went for lunch because they serve food at this place also. That's pretty good. And they serve the bubble tea in like a milkshake glass, kind of with a foot, I think.
Oh, I love that. That feels really right.
But I bet
me.
If you get it to go, it's in a plastic cup with the cellophane seal.
Okay. 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 Well, let's. I'm very curious about the history of this because I know nothing about it.
Okay.
So please help me.
I went in expecting this to be like a really murky and contested history, and it is a little bit, but not as much as I expected. So some of what I'm gonna go through comes from an article in the Taipei Times by Edward Jones, which we'll link to in the show notes, and some from Wikipedia.
Okay.
So first of all, the term bubble tea predated the term boba, and to this day, like, bubble tea can refer to any drink that – any ice drink that you get at a boba shop, because the bubbles refer to the bubbles from shaking the drink, not the boba pearls.
What? Is it shaken?
So, yeah. So you're supposed to shake it yourself. That's the point of the cellophane seal. You get the – I mean, not everybody likes to shake it. Everybody has,
what?
Like, their own order and their own way of doing it. But the basic idea is you order your iced boba drink. It comes with a seal, so it's safe to shake
yeah.
it.
Okay.
You like, invert it and shake it so that it's – to cool it and then start drinking.
Oh.
And cool it and aerate it a little.
I had no idea.
Okay.
When you get boba, do you do this?
Always.
I am absolutely stupefied. I had no idea. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Wow. Go on. I'm doing so much learning.
Okay. And of course, like nowadays, if you say bubble tea in the U.S., people assume probably there's going to be boba involved, and that's fine.
Okay.
Words change.
Okay.
The term boba, probably everyone knows this by now, refers to big breasts. And
what?
By extension,
I didn't know this. Okay.
So this was like Taiwanese slang that like first referred to like, you know, boobs and then referred to like, you know, anything round by extension. And so like, do you want some boba in this tea?
We're all just walking around saying like big boob tea.
So from the impression that I got from reading a bunch of stuff is that like this meaning has like, you know, fallen out of like current slang in Taiwan. And like now, if you say it, people really only think of tapioca pearls.
Is that how like in American English, you know, you say knockers and we all just think of like the thing you
door
bang
knockers.
On a door with.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Like that might be some slang that like, you know, your grandma's grandma would have used.
Okay. Okay.
And so this definitely originated in Taiwan. Yeah, we can go back to the slang like throughout the episode if you want. It is pretty great.
Thanks for giving me permission to make dumb jokes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bubble tea definitely originated in Taiwan, and there are two shops that claim to have invented it, Chun Shui Tang in Taichung and Hanlin Tea Room in Tainan. And it was invented in the mid-80s and became popular throughout Taiwan in the late 80s and then internationally in several waves starting in the late 90s.
Okay.
So I think that's when I remember it first appearing in Seattle. I think I probably first tried it like during the e-gullet era, like early 2000s.
That seems right for me too. I mean, I moved here during that era. Yeah. So
the Hanlin Tea Room claims that it invented boba in 1986. Chen Shui Tong claims that they invented it in 1987. They sued the heck out of each other, but neither was able to establish the intellectual property rights. So no one got the patent, and anyone can make boba and call it whatever they want.
I'm really disappointed that they sued each other. I just thought that suing people for dumb things was
like an American thing.
Was a purely American thing to do.
But I think there was a lot of money on the line.
Okay, so it wasn't a dumb thing. I get it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is still kind of dumb.
Okay. All right, go on.
And so, like, why did they start making this? Like, where did the idea come from? It's clear that boba tea is related to other, like, jellied tea drinks that go back, like, well over 100 years. And in particular, probably to, like, chendol, or sometimes called sendol, which is, like, a Malaysian-Singaporean drink that is tea with grass jelly, which is, it's another starchy thing that you could put in your tea.
And is it purely a textural thing? I mean, how did people come to start making jelly teas?
That's a good question. So I think it was probably like a textural and like nutritional thing, like not in terms of like micronutrients, but like in terms of like adding some like bulk and calories to this beverage.
Okay.
And also just people like the texture.
Okay.
And so like this is these particular textures, and particularly like putting them in drinks, is something that's really associated with like maritime Southeast Asia. So like Malaysia, Singapore, Taiwan, Philippines.
Okay.
That there is like a huge appreciation for like jellied and other like, you know, chewy textures, and combining that with drinks. And so that goes back a really long way, because like the idea of like something starchy that you can boil and it gels something up is not new.
Right.
And so like making a jelly, like a grass jelly, and like, you know, cutting into cubes or just kind of crushing it up and putting it into your tea would not have been like a great leap.
Okay. Okay.
But then taking, you know, figuring out like, okay, we can take these tapioca balls and do the same thing, and like this is going to be the hit drink. That was a Taiwanese innovation.
Okay. Got it. Got it. So what is boba? I mean, so there's bubble tea, which was the original term, but that just had to do with like this shaking and aerating of a tea drink.
Right.
And then there's boba, which is like the round chunky stuff.
The chunky stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So what is boba today?
Okay. So there's two components, obviously. There's the tea and there's the tapioca pearls.
Okay.
So the basic tea that you would order, like, you know, first, you know, you'd order your favorite one, of course, but like the classic tea at any boba shop is milk tea. And what that means usually is, so it's easy to find, like, if you look for online for, like, how to make boba shop-style milk tea, you will find lots of people saying, like, I tried to make this, and it didn't taste anything like I had at the boba shop. And it's because they kind of tried to make it too good. And I don't mean any of this in, like, a derogatory way at all, but, like, your basic milk tea at a boba shop is made with really cheap tea leaves, like Lipton tea bags or instant tea, non-dairy creamer, simple syrup, and water.
And that is delicious.
And it's delicious, yeah. And it's particularly like, I think the non-dairy creamer is a big part of what people like about the milk tea at a boba shop. Not all of them do that. Some use real milk. Some use like a combination of like half and half and milk, although that sounds expensive. But it's that...
Does
the
it give
thickness.
It? I was going to say, I think of a certain viscosity.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Right. So you can also order lots and lots of different flavors of tea at any boba shop, of course, which is lots of fun. The most popular ones these days, aside from milk tea, tend to be taro, which I've had it a bunch of times. And I think my impression is that people mostly order it because they love like the purple color.
How do they get the taro in there? Is it like powdered?
It's powdered. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, Is it like a big hit of taro flavor? I don't think so.
Yeah, I haven't found it to be.
But I do like it because I like purple things. And then the other most popular one these days is brown sugar milk tea, which usually contains no tea. It's milk and brown sugar syrup.
Oh, I didn't realize that. June has gotten the brown sugar milk tea. Yeah,
the first time I had that was in Japan at a place that was known for that. I think really pretty much only served that, and it was fantastic.
Oh, my God. I bet that could be really caramelly and delicious. Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the pearls.
Mm.
Wow, am I talking a lot on this
episode? No, please. No, go on.
Okay, so the boba pearls are typically 5 to 10 millimeters in diameter, so bring your calipers. And made from tapioca starch. And you often see like a choice of white or black pearls. The black pearls are by far the more popular, but most shops will also have white pearls.
Oh, they have added brown sugar. That's what makes them dark in color, the black pearls. Okay.
Yeah, and the white ones are just pure cooked tapioca starch.
Got it.
And they're also flavored pearls, which I've seen occasionally, but I don't know if I've ever tried.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a description from Wikipedia on how to make tapioca pearls. Quote, to create pearls, tapioca flour, also known as tapioca starch, is mixed with boiling water until a kneadable consistency is achieved. The dough is cut and rolled into a spherical shape. One method of achieving the correct shape is called the gongsor method. The starch is inserted into a long cylindrical twill cloth bag, and a jerking motion is used to toss the starch lumps back and forth. The lumps will become more firm and gain a more spherical shape. Spherical? The process is repeated until the pearls have roughly become the desired size. Afterward, the pearls will be sorted according to size.
Hold up. This cannot be how it's made.
I'm sure this is how it's made industrially, but doesn't it sound great?
It does sound
great. You put some like goo in a bag and shake it around, and then like different sizes of balls come out.
That's so cool.
Like, it's a magic trick that then you get to drink.
I remember you and December once made udon noodles or ramen noodles at
udon.
Home? Udon, okay, because you had to like stomp on the dough.
Yeah.
Before December goes off to college, you guys should really make some boba.
We could do this. All we need is a cylindrical twill cloth bag.
Yeah, great.
Which I'm sure we can get.
I'm definitely convinced that we're going to get this right the first time. Okay, but so, okay.
Oh, ye of little faith.
But then there are these things called popping boba, and June explained this differentiation to me.
Oh, please.
They have like this thin, it seems like a very molecular gastronomy thing. It has this like thin membrane, so it looks almost like a tapioca pearl, but when you bite into it, the membrane like pops.
Ruptures.
And inside is like a flavored goo.
Yeah, so they are a molecular gastronomy thing. They're made exactly like, you know, like spherified fruit, whatever that you would get at a fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's made with sodium alginate or whatever that is. And with like a thickened fruit syrup inside. I don't think I've tried them. Have you?
I have because June, let's see, the last time we got boba, June got half like black pearls and half popping boba.
Oh, nice. And like in the same drink?
In the same drink.
Nice.
And I tried one.
Oh, so this was at like the self serve.
This was okay. We're gonna talk about this.
I haven't been to this place. Okay. One more thing about the pearls. Then we'll talk about like boba shops. Mm-hmm. The pearls are sold in a dried rectangular block. Which, if you've never seen them like for sale, like at a Wajimaya, like I was very surprised at how they look like what they look like before they're prepared because they're like a gray brick kind of.
Okay.
And then they need to be cooked and cooled before serving in order to rehydrate them. And this is considered like, you know, how you test out like a good boba shop. Like, do they have the right texture of pearls? Because if they're undercooked, they will be impossible to chew. And if they're overcooked, they'll be mushy and clumped together. Having said that, I haven't noticed a big difference in, like, you know, texture between different boba shops. I think probably it's a pretty standardized process at this point.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
23 classes. And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, MasterClass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to MasterClass. You can learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on MasterClass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to MasterClass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
So, I wanted to mention this self-serve boba
place.
So, I think it's the first self-serve boba to open in Seattle.
All right, yeah. What's it called?
It's called Boba Up.
Okay.
And it's in the U District. It is in one of those storefronts where you walk down a few stairs.
Yeah.
So, it almost feels very Tokyo to me. Like, it felt a little bit like going into, remember when we went into this cotton candy place in Harajuku?
Cotton candy place.
Maybe
in Harajuku.
You weren't with us that
day. I don't remember
day.
That.
Anyway, okay. So you go in and you stop at a cash register right inside the door and you say what size you want.
Okay.
And if you want, you can get like an elaborate sort of drink with a name like they have behind the cash register on a menu. But what most people do is, you know, you say, I want a regular size regular, and they give you a cup. And then they give you a plastic glove to put on because Kova.
You go to the Kova shop. Yeah.
You don't want to get Kova with your boba. Anyway, then you you walk through. It's like going to Menchie's or something.
Yeah.
You
know? That's how I'm envisioning it.
You start at the end with the pearls.
And I assume you just like reach in with your plastic glove
Absolutely.
And just pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So the pearls are there. There's black pearls. There's some sort of popping boba. And then there are a lot of jellies, more jellies than pearls.
So when you said self-service, I assumed they were going to give you a bag and some goo and you have to shake
it. Yeah, exactly. That's right. It takes a really long time.
Okay.
No, it's like a little salad bar with a sneeze guard.
Sure.
But the thing I have noticed is they keep the black pearls off to the side on like a little rolling cart, and they're in like a six pan.
What's a six pan?
It's a certain size pan in restaurant service.
Okay.
Like a small but deep metal pan.
Yeah. Okay.
And they bring them out and they're still hot.
Oh, interesting.
They're still hot.
So they're making them. I think like you have to make them throughout the day because once they've been made, they don't hold very long, like a couple hours maybe, but not longer than that.
So they're not under the sneeze guard with all the others, or they haven't been the couple of times I've gone. Anyway, so you take a scoop of that. Strangely, the ice machine is beyond that. Is that normal that you would get the boba first and then the ice?
I think so, because like the ice gets put in at the top.
Oh, okay. Well, the way it works there is there's the boba and jellies area. Then there's the ice machine, and there's a little thing telling you roughly how much ice to put in.
Okay.
And then there is like a crazy array of different numbers of teas and things in those dispensers with like a rotating wheel inside, yes, and a clear plastic vessel so you can see the liquid in there.
Okay.
And there's signs hanging from the ceiling, and you basically just go up and put your cup underneath whichever one you want. And it's a dizzying array. I have only ever gotten like the basic milk tea.
Yeah.
Anyway, you mentioned, well, you'll talk about this in a minute, but you like to get like the sweetness level at like a certain percentage.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't noticed, I've noticed that at Boba Up, you can add extra syrup if you want at the end. But I have not seen like a lower sweetness variety of,
then, well, how would you rate the sweetness of the basic milk tea?
It's sweet, but not the sweetest I've had.
Okay, because I'm guessing probably their basic is like what they would call a 50%.
Okay,
non-self-service shop, and then you can like additionally sweeten it. This is just a guess.
Then at the end of that, there's another little counter with a person working behind it. You hand them your full cup, and they do the seal on top of it and give you a straw. But it's always overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's really hard to choose. And there's a part of me that wonders, so I haven't had boba that somebody else has assembled for me in a while. And I always wonder if I'm getting the right amount of ice, even though they roughly indicate, like, I don't know if I'm getting the right proportions.
Well, I don't think there is a right amount, because like some people like theirs with no ice. And like, so, okay.
Okay.
So, I've been going to the two places in my neighborhood recently, and you know, I'm probably like generalizing some things based on two boba shops that are not in the U District. So it's not the epicenter of Seattle boba, and certainly not the world epicenter of boba.
No,
but both of them use like an iPad ordering system, which like I guessing is partly like a social distancing thing, but also partly like I imagine because there are so many things on the menu, like it would get really frustrating to like have to like negotiate an order with a customer because there are just so many choices.
Yeah.
Like, did you mean this one or this one? Just
think
like
that way
tell
about,
the computer.
I always think that way at Starbucks when somebody's like, I want a half calf with vanilla syrup, no whip. Bloop, bloop, beep, bop.
A couple of bloops of syrup.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I always like ordering on a computer. Like, it feels like I'm talking to a friendly robot who's going to make me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But to be clear, the humans make the drinks.
Okay.
Like once you've chosen like your flavor of tea, then there are options for like, you know, what do you want in it? Like, you know, do you want like the standard black pearls, or do you want like a popping pearl or grass jelly or coffee jelly or something like that? Or no add-ins. That's totally fine too. And then you choose your sweetness level, which can range from like 0 to 100%, and it go like, you know, 0, 30, 50, 80, 100, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually get 50%.
Okay.
Because I find the standard 100% way too sweet for me.
Okay.
And then the amount of ice. And I like regular ice, and Teenager of the Show December likes half ice.
Okay.
So
is regular ice, like, how much would you say?
It's definitely less than like, you know, if you order like a fountain drink and like let the person, it's not like a non-self-serve fountain drink and let the person at the movies or whatever, like put ice in the cup.
Like,
it's less than that.
Can you move your straw around freely?
Absolutely.
With all the ice?
Yes.
Okay. And so does December prefer half ice because they want more tea, or because they don't want it that cold, or because they don't want it to get watered down?
That's a good question. I should have asked them. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm guessing watered down.
Yeah, fair.
That's my guess.
Okay. And then, oh my God, I have never known. So you literally shake the cup like vertically, not just like a little rattle side to side.
I invert it a couple of times.
Before you poke the straw.
I poke the straw.
Okay.
If I did that after I poked the straw, they would kick me out of the shop and put a picture of me up by the cash register, like, don't let this idiot anywhere near our shop.
I had no idea I was supposed to invert it.
Okay. But I do. Okay. I just remembered a story that I've like blocked out for years, which is that one of the first times I got boba, maybe the first time actually, I like peeled the cellophane off and stuck my straw in. And
were they like you, monster?
Yeah. The person like came over and explained to me.
Oh my God. So yeah. Is that how you learned you're supposed to shake it?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what is your, and you, do you usually get just regular milk tea?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay.
Yesterday I went to Timeless Tea down the street from me and I got the coffee milk tea, which I'd been wanting to try, which is, it has both coffee and tea.
Do you taste both?
You taste both. That took a little getting used to. I did end up enjoying it. I am going to go back to the regular milk tea next time.
Okay. And how big a cup do you get? Because they're always, it's quite large.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Like, I realized yesterday that I was talking to my family about a meal that we had once enjoyed in Tokyo, and I was saying that I remembered the food as being, like, not that great. And realizing, and they were both very surprised by this because they thought the food was great, just like every other place we've been in Tokyo. And I realized that what I meant was they served me more food than I could eat, and that makes me uncomfortable. And I have the same experience with boba because I prefer Timeless Tea because they're regular size, or they have a small size that's like a little smaller than the regular super tall size. Mm-hmm. It's still too much for me, and I still don't like that, but it's less, like, totally over the top.
Okay.
So, like, I wish there was, like, I could order, like, a baby boba, and they could charge me the same price, and it would be fine.
This is, but, like, it's like, I love that Wendy's makes, like, a kid's Frosty. McDonald's makes, like, a kid's or a snack size, yeah. McFlurry. I really appreciate these things.
I would absolutely order those things.
Actually, over time, like, now when we get McFlurries, which is not infrequently, I always get a small. Like, I've sized up.
Sized up from snack size to small.
Yeah.
You're growing up.
I'm growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a big kid in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you have one of those big wheels?
No, but I definitely rode a lot of those in the day.
Me too.
God, those are sick.
Yeah, I got a lot of big wheel injuries.
Do you remember once on the show when we talked about how nice it would be if there were, like, giant people who could, like, just pick us up and cuddle us, you know, like, as though we were, like, big adult babies?
Yep.
I think it'd be really nice if there were, like, giant big wheels.
Yes.
You know, Hot Wheels. Big wheels?
Sort of like ATVs, but, like, you mean, like, not motorized.
Not motorized. Yeah, you still got to pedal and it's going to make a lot of noise.
I like, those things are so loud, like so the plastic loud. Wheels against the pavement. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And sooner or later, the wheels would get big holes in them.
Yes.
And you'd have to throw it out. Yeah.
Okay. So what are some...
I thought you were going to say they should make a boba cup so big you can bathe in it.
Oh, I mean, I do think that there would be worse things than, like, lowering yourself into, like, that kind of, like, the boba. I mean, yeah. I think I'd get a wicked yeast infection.
Sure.
But I do think, like, in terms of, like, sensations, it'd be really nice.
Like, pulling boba out of various crevices.
No, but the boba would be big. It would be to scale.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It would be bigger boba. Like a ball pit.
Like, yeah. Taking boba back to its original meaning. Okay. Like a boba ball pit.
Yep. Okay. So there are always a lot of other tea flavors available, right? I mean, you and I are pretty, you know, pretty basic bitches.
Yeah.
In that we just get the milk tea.
Yeah.
So what are some other options?
I was looking at the menu at Timeless Tea, and these are just some of the things on the menu.
Okay.
Okra lemon tea. Red bean pomegranate fruit tea, mm-hmm. milk cream four-season green tea, milky black sesame with waffle. Wow. I don't know what that means, but that is the next thing I'm going to order.
Ooh, purple rice milk
tea. Purple rice milk tea. Okay. And peach gum fresh milk. And I had to look up what peach gum was, and it is the sap of the peach tree that's made into, like, little morsels.
I wonder if it has a peach flavor or even an almondy kind of flavor. Right? Because of peach pits or...
Yeah. I don't know.
That's really interesting. Okay.
So, like, yeah, like, just, it's still, even though, like, you know, boba is no longer, like, a new thing at all, like, it still feels very exciting to me to go to the boba place, even if I don't even order anything interesting.
I really wish we could go.
I know.
Oh, wow.
Sometime soon.
Okay.
I forgot to mention, there's this product. Did I already talk about this on the show? There's this product they sell at Timeless Tea that we tried one time, which is a dog cheesecake that is a...
Designed for dogs?
No. It's formed, it is in the form of a very realistic bulldog. And it's available in like original cheesecake flavor or chocolate, I think.
Wait, does it stand up on four legs?
No, it's like a
bulldog, like a face?
Sleepy bulldog.
Lying down bulldog. Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, we gotta try this. This is gonna be funny. And like eating it is very disturbing because you're like, I'm gonna have to just go in and get this process underway and eat the face of this cute dog. And I did, and it was tasty, and we're never getting it again.
Okay. Wow. That is fascinating.
It's really funny.
Oh, my God. Okay, hold on. Can we talk about the actual eating of the boba?
Yeah.
So when you are drinking boba, when you are eating boba, it's an eating and drinking experience.
It's an eating and drinking experience.
Do you want boba in, like, every straw suck? Every straw
full? I think I do. I want to get, like, two or three at every suck.
Okay. Okay.
That's my goal in life.
Okay. And, you know, I know that you say you don't always finish it, or you often don't finish it. Do you leave tea behind? Do you leave boba? Do you leave an equal amount of each?
I kind of leave both. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like is it like proportionally the same as when I started? I don't know. We'd have to get out the calipers again. Okay. Or the centrifuge, maybe.
Yeah, the centrifuge. Okay.
Oh, something important that I learned that there's a public service announcement that I forgot to even put on the agenda, but it's really important. Do not try to put boba down your garbage disposal. It does not work at all.
What, does it just gum stuff up?
It just gums stuff up, and then you have to like get in there with your fingers and dig out like a ball after ball that's wedged in there.
No. Did you run plenty of water with it?
Do I know how to use a garbage disposal?
You are looking so indignant right now. I think you forgot to run the water.
I ran all the water, gallons.
Okay, fine.
Like our next water bill was $5,000, and there was a note on it that said you put boba in the garbage disposal, didn't you, dumbass?
I don't have a garbage disposal anymore, so this is
fine.
It's not my problem.
It's not a very useful thing. So there are boba spin-off products, like you can get boba in a cake or that sort of thing. The one that seems to be a real big hit that I have tried and is very good are the brown sugar boba ice cream bars.
Tell me what's the format here?
It's like an ice cream bar on a stick. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like a fudgesicle, but with the brown sugar syrup swirl and like a few boba pearls in each bar.
But they're frozen.
Yeah, but like they like soften enough to be chewable pretty quick.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
Yeah, they're really good.
Where do you buy these?
They sell them at Costco. I think they sell them like at QFC now. It's become a really popular product, I think.
Wow.
For a while, like I would see them only at a Wajamaya, but not anymore.
Good to know. Okay. Well,
they definitely have them at M2M, which I'm going to go to after we record today.
Of course you are. Of course you are. I wish I could go. Okay. Anyway, Matthew. Do you have a now but wow for us this week?
I do have a now but wow, and this one is going to be so simple. For the person who said we recommend too many books and they can't keep up, this one's going to take you 6 minutes. Friend of the show, we wish, Japanese Breakfast, Michelle Zauner, was on Saturday Night Live. It's this little improv comedy, sketch comedy show.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of it.
And you can watch it free on YouTube. It was incredible, and there is a gong involved.
Really?
Like a gong that is like bedecked with flowers and lights up. It was an incredible performance.
Also, you know, the reason we say friend of the show, is that we had Michelle on the show once.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Not that long ago, even. Was it like a year ago?
It was 2020, maybe.
No, it was 2021.
Okay.
Anyway,
because it was like right when Crying in H Mart came out.
Right before. Anyway, guys, look it up. I think it was a Korean rice cakes episode.
Yes,
is that
that's
right?
Actually what I need to get at M2M today.
Perfect. All right. Well, congratulations on your success, Michelle.
I feel like
you don't have to be a friend of the show, but we still claim you.
Right. It's as if we had had like Bradley Cooper on the show while he was on Alias and then like forever could say we had Bradley Cooper on the show.
Yeah.
We have not had Bradley Cooper on the show, but we would.
Let's see who else we can get on the show right before they make it big.
Because okay,
then we can claim their success as our own.
That's true. Like who's going to make it big next? I'm hearing a lot about this Harry Styles.
Oh,
I think he might have what it takes.
Yeah, I think he might too. Harry, call us.
Okay, yeah.
We've been doing all this late night talking about everything you want until the
I haven't
morning.
Listened to the album yet. Okay. I was gonna try and get remember to listen to it today.
Okay.
Yeah, call Molly on her personal number. It's 206 555 Boba. All right.
And by that I mean big breasts.
Uh-huh. And our producer is Abby Circatella.
And you can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You can hang out with other people who like the show virtually at reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk. Maybe someone from there is about to make it big.
Maybe. Let us know if you're about to make it big. If you feel like you're on the cusp of something.
Maybe moderator Young Benz is about to really have a breakout hit.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that if you put us in a sack and you shake us all up, then
we come out and we're pearls.
I'm Matthew Hepster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg. Oh my God. I hadn't thought about a garbage disposal in a long time.
Oh, I use it every day.
Truly a kitchen gadget that I never use.
It's not important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.